Sometime you got to remind yourself you're free. Sometime you got to remind yourself you're free. Especially when people try to dominate you and control you and tell you what to do and where to go. Sometimes you got to remind yourself, I'm a grown woman. I'm a grown man. I don't want to go. Why you not? I don't want to go. That's my why. I'm free. Somebody shout, I'm free. Somebody shout, I'm free. Somebody shout, I'm free. From the bondages that held me, from the past that constrained me, from the fear that intimidated me, from the demons that attacked me, from the witch that tries to hex me, from the generational curses that tried to bind me, from my habits and my past, from my proclivities and my weakness. Somebody shout, I'm free. Every time you say it, hell gets nervous. Every time you say it, demons tremble. Every time you say it, there's an earthquake in Hades because the devil does not want you to know that you are free. When you know you're free, you don't need a Juneteenth. When you know. See, if you don't know you're free, you'll keep working like a slave because you haven't got the message yet that you are free. That's why preaching is so important, because it announces to the captive that the price has been paid on Calvary that purchased your freedom. And if you don't want to be a drug addict, and if you don't want to be a dope dealer, and if you don't want to be a whoremonger, and if you don't want to be a liar, and if you don't want to be a hypocrite, I just came to tell you what has already been paid for by his blood. I'm free. That's why they celebrate it with unleavened bread. I'm going to the last sentence. That's why they celebrated with the unleavened bread, because when they were in Egypt, they had to make bread with leaven. And they didn't want themselves to think of themselves the way they did when they were serving the Egyptians. So they celebrated with unleavened bread. In the New Testament, it takes on a new meaning. Leaven represents sin. But in the Old Testament, unleavened bread was rebellion against Pharaoh. There are some things that you do that's not even for you. It's for the one who held you. I dressed up to let you know I can. I dressed up to let you know I can make it without you. There's some things you do just because you want them to know. I never will forget a young lady told me, I'm your intercessor. And if you don't let me intercede for you, you won't be able to preach. I said, let's try it. Let's try it. I dare you, let's try it. I opened up the door and let her out the building and said, watch me. See if I can have power without you. See, once you know you're free, oh, y'all ain't gonna talk to me this morning. But y'all, you know you got some people in your life that didn't think you could make it without them. Don't you sit there and look at me all cross-eyed and funny looking. You know some people that when they walked out on you, they thought you was gonna die and you still standing where you standing. Don't you sit there and act like I'm not coming right up your road. preaching this gospel. I'm preaching up in here, up in here. Liberation is to be celebrated. I said liberation is to be celebrated. You can't appreciate it until you've been bound. But if you ever been bound and you mess around and get loose, you're praising God for stuff people don't even understand. Your praise gets on other people's nerves because they've never been tied like you've been tied. They can't be grateful like you've been grateful. But if you ever been tied up, thought your life was over, thought you would die and go to hell, and Jesus broke the chains and set you free, it'll make you run all over this church. It'll make you leap out of your shoes. It'll make you dance with no music. Somebody give him 30 seconds of crazy, bodacious. Praise him like you know you're free. Praise him like you know you're free. Praise him like you know who you are. Praise him like you got a made up mind. Praise him like you're a free woman. Praise him like you're a free man. Let everything that have breath. One more thing about the cedar mill. Cedar mill done correctly in the Old Testament was four cups of wine, each representing a different stage of the Exodus story, because real deliverance comes in stages. It ain't no one cup experience. Real deliverance comes in stages. It's not a one cup experience, but it is a cup kind of thing. That's why Jesus said, Father, if it be thy will, pass this bitter cup from me. Come on, somebody. Freedom is a process. You don't get it in the first cup. You don't get up off the altar and you got everything you need to have. Some of you are trying to do four cup work with one cup experience. Now somebody say, drink again.
Drink again.
Yeah. The reason you don't drink again is that now you had one cup, now you're gonna judge everybody else going back to get more and more and more and more. You need to stop judging and keep on drinking, because God will fill you up. Woman, if you drink of the water that I have, you will never thirst again. The scripture said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You say, well, I thought you was talking about wine. Why are you talking about Jesus? Turn water. God is going to take the dismal waters of your life and translate them into wine. Miraculously. And it's a process. You won't know when it happened. But somewhere in the process of being poured out, in the process of giving, in the process of serving, in the process of carrying heavy loads, in the process of helping other people, Jesus turns your water into wine. Go back and read the story. You can't tell when he did it. You just know that he did it. Have you ever got healed and you don't know when it happened? You just looked up and you just know the whole. That used to hurt. That don't hurt no more. You used to could say that and make me cry, but I'm not crying anymore. I don't know when God. Hey, Lord. So I don't have time to give all of it. The first cup was the arrival of the Messiah. The second was for the redemption of Israel. The third was for the liberation from Egypt. The fourth for the coming of the future Messiah. It looked, they were drinking forwards and backwards. Past, present, and future. Like the text, the Bible says, we do show forth his death, that's past, until he comes, that's future. There is an eschatology involved in communion that says, I'm just doing this till you come back. Jesus says, I will drink no longer wine till I drink it with you in the kingdom of God. You keep on drinking, waiting on me to come. I'm going to abstain until I come. And the next time we drink together, it will be a toast at the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the wicked shall cease from troubling, and the weary shall be at rest, and all the saints of the ages. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your glass up like you're toasting somebody. Hallelujah. When you hear that clink come from heaven, when there's a sound from heaven, when the clouds roll back, and when he who we have waited for suddenly appears, behold, the bridegroom cometh. The blood is my covenant. Say, the blood is my covenant. The blood is my covenant. It represents everything I needed. Before they picked up a pen to begin to write the New Testament, the Bible is clear that the New Testament, or the New Covenant rather, is in his blood. It's in his blood. Ishadabaha. It's in his blood. It's in his blood. It's in his blood. It's in his blood. Everybody else that was crucified, they were dead when the Roman soldiers came to check them. But Jesus, when they came along, Jesus, they were alive when they checked them. When the Roman soldiers found them alive, they broke their bones so that they could not resist the nails and become obedient unto death. But Christ was already so obedient unto death that when they got to him, he was already dead. And the reason he had to be already dead is that he was the Lamb of God, and there was not to be a bone broken in his body. Hallelujah. Because he can't be a broken Savior and save a broken world. And they hung him high and they stretched him wide. He hung his head, and for me he died. So rather than to break his bones, they pierced him in his side. And the Bible said, out of his side came blood and water. So when I talk about water, I'm talking about blood. When I talk about blood, I'm talking about water. Out of his side. Came blood and water. The atonement for my sins, the liberation from my past, so I don't have to sit up here and be at war in my head, because I'm free now. Let me announce to every battered wife, you're free now. Let me announce to every convict, you're free now. Let me announce to every drug dealer, you're free now. Let me announce to every pervert, you're free now. You might still be doing it, but you don't have to. He whom the Son hath set free is free indeed. You need to have your Juneteenth. Shake hands with seven people and tell them I'm free.